Again, good morning. Glad we're here. And so, first of all, I just want you to think for a moment. Who is the if you think about the most famous or perhaps infamous a person you have ever personally met in the flesh? Just think about that for a moment. The most famous or infamous person that you have ever personally met in the flesh. Take a moment, think about it. All right, now, turn and you just have a few minutes, turn and share that with a neighbor. It's okay, you can talk to the person on whoever's around you. Who is the most famous or infamous person you've ever met? That's enough. It was supposed to be like a name. Now, I know some of you have met numerous infamous or famous people over the years, and perhaps you online, you could type that in, perhaps if you have the ability to respond, and a name that you have met online. But I had this, when I was, it was back in like 1995. I'm pastoring in central Wisconsin. And one of my best friends, Barry, says to me one time, he said, you know, I've got tickets for Country USA, which, if you don't know, Country USA is in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Yeah, right. For sure. And so he said, I got tickets for a show. Would you like to go? Now, me and country western music, I have to say it, is not... It's not high on my list. I know that'd be like me saying where we pastored the last 35 years that I'm not a Packer fan, which would be, you know, just stupid. But so he said, I got tickets for Country USA for a show. I'd love to have you come and join us. And I'm like, oh. Sure, I got nothing better to do on a Thursday night. I'll show up. So Barry came by, picked me up, and we went to the concert. And when we walked in, I had no idea. I have, like I said, Johnny Cash was kind of the extent. He is country, right? Thank you. I knew that. Check that out. It was about the extent of what I knew. And so we walk in. Well, not only do we walk in, he shows these passes. We walk up to the front row, and the show starts. And there's these number of groups that are on before the main act. The main act, I had heard her sing a song in the past, and her name is Tammy Wynette. Now, some of you are wise and you know who she is. And you know the most famous song she sang was Stand By Your Man. Thank you, sweetheart. And so she gets, and I mean, it's like she was like breathing on us. Like, you know, like when the preacher gets way too close to you and you start sweating a little. And so anyway, so I'm like, wow, how did you get these seats? And he says, just wait, it gets better. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he says, just wait. And so the show ends. It was actually fantastic. I mean, for not liking country western at all, it was totally fun. We had a great time. We totally enjoyed ourselves. It was just awesome. And then afterwards, the show's ending. I'm like, you know, we get to drive back, and he's like, oh, no, he said, we're going to go meet Tammy Wynette. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Shut the front door. No way. He says, yeah. He says, I'm a friend of hers. I'm like, what? Well, one, she's 40 years older than you. I mean, and he's like, So he's like, no, just follow me. And we walk in the back, and we walk back to a trailer in the back, and he knocks on the door. We walk in, and Tammy Wynette is sitting there with her dog on her lap after the show, and they strike up this conversation. He introduces me to Tammy Wynette. That was the most famous person I've ever met, and in the flesh, and because you guys even, some of you even know her. Or knew about her. And he went to the University of Miami in Florida, and that's where she lived, and that's where her her daughter went. And they were best friends at the university, and they kind of adopted him on weekends, and he came and stayed with them. Okay, that's enough of that story. But, you know, it's like something I won't ever forget, you know, standing in that trailer and actually getting to meet somebody somewhat or famous. So in the gospel today, we have Thomas, and I always think poor Thomas. I mean, what's his nickname? I just want to say that is a real misservice to the apostle Thomas. For one thing, that's like the rest of them weren't doubting. And if you've read the Gospels, which I know you all have, turn to your neighbor and say, I've read the Gospels. No, you can do that. Just affirm yourselves. You've read the Gospels, right? Are most of you here? If you haven't before, they're in here. You can read them. They're in English now, and you can pick them up. Well, in Luke's gospel, it says the women came to the tomb, yeah, and an angel was there and said, "Well, he's no longer here." And they ran back to the disciples. That's the 11, and they said to him. They said to them, Jesus is risen. And what did the disciples, according to Luke's Gospels, think was going on? In the NIV, it says that they were talking idle tales. The New Living Translation, I like better, it says the women are talking nonsense. Because they didn't believe either. There was a point at which they were all doubters, yes? Thomas isn't the only one, and we don't need just to pick him out, but anyway. All right, so back to the story. Now Thomas called Didymus. By the way, so just so you know, Thomas is the Hebrew word for twin. Didymus is the Greek word. It's the same word. It just shows the cultural in culture they spoke many different at least two prominent languages at the time. So now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So right away Thomas kind of gets strike one because he didn't show up for the meeting. Yeah, what was he out getting pizza? Falafel, I don't know, but he's not there. We don't know why, and it doesn't say why, but I could guess that after what Thomas witnessed of Jesus on the cross, perhaps he was just a little distressed and wasn't ready to show up for a group meeting. So Thomas isn't there, and so... But Jesus appears to them, and so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And of course, what is us 2,000 years sitting in a church, us who confess Jesus Christ, what do we think Thomas should have said? Amen! He should have said amen, but he didn't. I'm just going to say, if you have doubted, you're not alone. As a matter of fact, I think for us in the church, especially when we see people who are struggling, when things are going badly, when life is not coming out the way we wanted it to, when we're having troubles in our marriages or in our relationships or in our finances or with our health, and someone comes and says to us, just have faith. Well, I can't think of just have faith. Three words that might be harder to swallow when you're discouraged, when you're distressed. I just don't think just have faith cuts it. And I don't believe, I don't believe it is what is the best words to come from our mouths when we have friends or people who are distressed. Really what we should be wondering about is how do we receive faith? Or how do I get faith? Or how do I have faith? And telling someone to just have it ain't going to do it. You know, it's kind of like if you have someone, again, who's having financial trouble, they're having trouble going to sleep at night because they're worrying. And to be told, well, you know, just don't worry about it. That works real well, doesn't it? Or you happen to fall down and break your arm and, well, just don't hurt. There you go, that'll work, right? But the disciples, the others, the 10, at least they said to him, we have seen the Lord. They actually don't tell him to have faith. They do witness to their experience of the living, resurrected Jesus Christ, the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the all in all, who showed up for them. They don't tell him just have faith. And they allow him to say to them, listen to what he said. I love this. Unless I see the mark, the nail marks or the wounds in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And then a week later, they're all gathered together and Jesus shows up. Hey, they let him back in the door, yeah? They didn't say, well, you're out of here now. You are a failure. I think it's good news just to know, one, if we're struggling in our faith, if we're having trouble with whatever might be happening in our life that isn't adding up to the way we want it to add up, and we live in a world that is totally broken. Doesn't anybody know that, yeah? I mean, where there's a lot to be fearful of and be distressed about, to know that it's all right. Take a breath. Just breathe in. It's all right to be here, to belong if you're struggling in the body. But Thomas is not only welcome, he shows back up. And, whoops, I'll get there. So a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, well, peace be with you, Peter, and, you know, and peace be with you, Matthew. Oh, but not with you, Thomas. By the way, Jesus says, peace be with you. You know, whenever Jesus shows up, there's peace. Passes human understanding. It is his very present. Jesus is present here as he is present here with us now. If you're experiencing distress, I invite you to open, as Pastor Lisa mentioned, because you know that we can't see Jesus the way they saw him, and Jesus will say that at the end with their physical eyes. But Paul will say that we can see Jesus with the eyes of our heart. It's in Ephesians. As a matter of fact, Paul prays that the eyes of our heart be opened. He prays that for the Ephesians. So, Lord, I pray that you open our eyes. Because Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is present with us now. We desire to see him and to receive a peace which passes human understanding in the midst of a fallen and broken world, as fallen and broken people. Lord, open our hearts and our eyes. He says, peace, peace be with you. Then he says to Thomas, put your finger here. I mean, it's okay. Reach out. Sometimes we might read this as and I think it's an unfortunate reading. I think it has to do with our nickname for Thomas. We might read this as a criticism of Thomas. No, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. Jesus loves to invite people to come. Even those who are struggling in faith. So reach out, he says. Touch me. Right here. And we can't miss the fact that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, bears the marks, the wounds of his victory. He bore those for you, and he bears them for you. You are not forgotten. He knows your name. He knows everything about you, and he loves you beyond your wildest imagination. And he wears the victory with him into the resurrection and into eternity. As a matter of fact, in a few weeks from now, the church throughout the world will be celebrating Jesus' ascension into heaven when he was raised back up to be seated at the right hand of the Father to take the throne that he has won on the cross and through the power of the resurrection. And, you know, when you read the ascension, which I know you will because you read the Gospels, right? So as you read the story, notice that it wasn't like a bag of bones were left laying on the ground when Jesus ascends. He ascends bodily into heaven. He carries the wounds with him into eternity. As a constant reminder of his victory on the cross over sin, death, and the devil for you. Turn to your neighbor and just say, for you. For you. For you. That's who you are. That's how he values you. And if you need him to show up today, he'll be here for you. And if you need him to show up tonight for you, call on him and he'll be there. Jesus appears for you. And reach out your hand. Don't be ashamed because he loves you beyond your wildest imagination. You are the apple of his eye. If you ever doubt, you're in good stead with those 11 guys and with so many that have struggled with faith. Reach out. Don't be alone. That's what Thomas did. God loves you. He loves this church. It is his body. And even though you have experienced, as I've talked to Pastor Dave, some struggles the last number of years, God remembers. He is present for you. He loves you. He loves you as the body and the work that you're doing for the community. Lord, we pray your anointing upon this church, upon Desert Hope. We pray, we lift before you each person here. pray that you give us new eyes of faith, that we might have the spiritual eyes to see you at work in this fallen and broken world that you love so much, that you have been victorious over. We ask for your anointing upon your church. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might praise you in the midst of a fallen and broken world, that we might lift your name in glory, for you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. You are our all in all, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We give you glory for this day. We praise you. Lord, we pray for the people around us. We pray for healing, emotional healing, physical healing. Lord, you love to heal. You're the great healer. You love to bind together marriages, physical well-being. You touched those who were hurting and they were restored. We pray for restoration for us. Lord, we lift before you. We pray for a new pastor. Desert Hope. Lord, we know you have one prepared. Give us eyes to see and then the willingness to respond. We thank you for them. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. We pray for our community, and we ask that we might be a faithful witness of your love as we love others in this world. Jesus, you are our King. Lord, we believe today as best we can. We say yes, no matter what our circumstance. And we thank you for your presence. Lord, we reach out to touch you today. Open our eyes. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name.